You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So we
that was a classic great sting from George Fenwick, by the way.
So good. So we are in studio with Chloe Swarbrick. So me and Lachlan are here.
Yep.
And we are going to talk, Chloe's going to talk a little bit about what she's been up to and talk about Green Party news.
Yeah, / Black Cat.
Black Cat.
Public service really,
really serious news
well,
that we need to get
Auckland,
out first.
You know, and I presume that as at least some of the demographic tuning into 95BFM are of the K-Road ilk. So if you've lost a Black Cat... / your Black Cat is not at home. It is currently chilling at Bestie, being very well looked after in St. Kevin's Arcade. So spread the news.
If anybody's looking for a Black Cat, that's where it is.
Well, not like looking to like get
not
a Black
cat.
Looking
don't,
for
don't
their
the
Black
Cat.
Yes. You should go and have a look.
It doesn't have a Bestie. Collar. So, yeah, I mean, you could pretend. Don't pretend.
Don't pretend. Don't pretend, only if it's yours.
The hard news.
Hard news. So let's just start off. Do you want to just talk through, just briefly, a few of the things that you've been up to over the last week?
There has been quite a bit of things. So Parliament has just risen from, I think it was a three-week sitting block, and we're now in what is called a two-week recess. That is quite a misnomer for what occurs during this period. It is not like school. We are kind of shrouded in meetings and get to go out and engage in the community and hopefully be accountable as members of Parliament. But over the past 3 weeks, people will know that we have gone through the process to attempt to take semi-automatic weapons out of general circulation. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate to sit on the kind of urgent select committee process that went to the Finance and Expenditure Committee, otherwise known as FEC, and that was pretty intensive with the advice from the police and 17 relatively high-profile submissions from members of the general public. Those from the Islamic Association of Aotearoa New Zealand and the one from the likes of Gun City were those that got the most coverage. But there was also some pretty heart kind of breaking ones from the New Zealand Association of Surgeons, which spoke about the impact of gun wounds on the body and how difficult it is to actually fix those. So we went through that whole process and I ended up putting in a Green Party, what's called a minority view. For those who are studying law or otherwise, it's not technically known as a minority report, even though everybody, this is like the bugbear of Holly Donald, who's our political advisor. It's called a minority view. And basically, we agreed with the New Zealand Police Association, who are different from the New Zealand Police, who are being, you know, through the Department of Police, providing the advice to the Select Committee. So the Police Association is like the union for police. Mm-hmm. They submitted saying that there should not be a carve out to allow collectors to import semi-automatic weapons because the police showed this example of a dude who tried to import 38 Uzis and was just saying, you know, these are for collectors' reasons. So there's a lot of examples like that where we have come to a consensus as a committee and across Parliament, obviously bar one of 120 MPs, to remove the operable part and put it in a separate place or location. So I think that that's a good starting point, but things need to go further. So we went through that whole process. There was also the report back of the End of Life Choice Bill from the Justice Select Committee. That was thousands, if not hundreds, of hearings that occurred all over the country, and the Justice Select Committee did a lot of work on that. So that'll be coming up in the next parliamentary sitting block. I was on the cross-party group for the End of Life Choice Bill, which didn't mean that the Green Party were there kind of to support it per se, but to engage in the conversation about safeguards and otherwise. So that has to go back to our caucus, and we will be deciding what happens from that point.
Is there sort of an idea about where that will go?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of discussion, particularly with members of the disability community. It's not my portfolio. It's Gowries and Marama primarily, but for us it's about making sure that people who are particularly from the disability community who have been advocating very loud and strong for this are protected. And I think that it is really important that we do consider this in the context of a well-funded medical health system, because I think that like this is a point which has been raised by some people, and you know it is important to take on board, but I also think it's quite a cynical view, is that the person who is advocating for this end of life choice scenario is the same person who's advocating for privatizing the health system. So there's some concerns there. So there's that side of things. We also passed the first reading of wheel clamping, clamped down on the wheel clamping on the cowboys. So that's currently before select committee. If anybody wants to make some submissions on that, you just Google wheel clamping parliament and you'll be able to find the page to do it. Because political engagement's fun.
And get involved,
we're
guys.
Looking at, yeah, please do. It's really boring if the public isn't involved. I'd far rather debate and engage with the general public than most of my colleagues. I'm joking, but am I? So, yeah, that's looking at capping wheel clamping costs to $100. We've heard some real horror stories of it going up to like $3,500.
Set it up what they want.
Yeah,
is
essentially.
It like, so, like, because it's private, like a private company. A private company can just be like, okay, so it's this much to get rid of our clamp.
Totally. It's like contract law. Yeah, you can just say that you are on this property. We had this little tiny sign that had these terms and conditions.
So you didn't read them.
Yeah, exactly. Looking to clamp down on unscrupulous behaviour. And we also, this is like just a like tip of the iceberg, by the way, but another thing that we did was pass the second reading of the Local Government Community Wellbeing Amendment Bill, which restores the four wellbeings into the Local Government Act, which is really important because it's about the framework with which decisions are made in local government. As a big local government nerd, I have, you know, for a very long time, since 2016, been speaking about how it's kind of ridiculous how the ambit of what local government is supposedly responsible for, that central government kind of wags the finger at local councils for doing or not doing, has continued to grow, whereas the resources that they have haven't. So the only way that local governments have to raise revenue currently are through things like rates, which is obviously the common thread of debate, and dog licensing fees. So in New Zealand, we have a really disproportionate spend at a local government level. It's about 11% of all government spending, whereas in other OECD countries, it's 30%. So if we're about localisation and we're about community and we're about democracy, then we need to get that balance better.
Local government elections are coming up.
Yes, in October.
October. Do the Greens have much of a presence?
Yes, we do. We'll be. It's an interesting one, because I think most parties in New Zealand are kind of geared towards central government. But for me, I think that actually local government is far too neglected, particularly if you look at turnout. So in 2013, turnout was 34.7% across Auckland.
It's very sad.
2016, we turned the boat around on a 10-year trend of decline, and it rose to just below 40%, which still is fantastic. And actually is still below the national average.
That's insane.
Yeah, I think that, local government really excites me because it's the area where you can genuinely get stuff done on an urgent community basis.
Yeah.
So, like, the story that I tell is, you know, you wake up in the morning, you turn on your tap, clean water comes out that's like looked after by local council. If you're not engaged in local council, like, some bad stuff can happen there. You walk out of your house or apartment, whatever, on the roadside, the roads and the footpaths maintained by local council. Get on a bus, that contract is provided by local council. Can go to a cafe, know that you're not going to be poisoned by the food because of the licensing scheme that's provided by local council. But also whether small businesses are popping up or not is largely dictated by, again, things like rates or their engagement with local council. So I think that there is so much opportunity for really cool things to happen, and I just love Auckland, so I'd really love it if people could please engage.
How do you know if you're enrolled?
So you can check with the Electoral Commission. Just make sure that your address is up to date, because one of the biggest dramas that I went through in 2016 was helping people to enroll. And it's such a nightmare because it's postal voting. Okay, first and foremost, like, trying to find a post box is a nightmare, but there's a 3-week period where you will get a letter sent to you and you have to send that letter out, and that's how you vote.
And that's just not surely these days. Like, it's the thing is that I swear that's happened in the part where I've heard stories about that, where you filled out your election form and then put it in the envelope and then
never posted it.
Because you're like, or kept it in the car going, I'm going to post it, but never actually got...
Because it's an errand.
Yeah. Because you're like, you have to look.
Like, you do have to drop it at... You can drop it at a library as well. So, you know, for all of those people who are visiting libraries, I don't know. I feel like we have to find a new innovative way for libraries and post offices to operate in the 21st century.
I agree. Because I do,
And I mean, there has been some people have been lobbying me behind the scenes on you know, Facebook messages and through email to there's this interesting idea that's come about that we should be evolving our post offices to.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.